good evening and welcome to Town Square. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Our weekly conversations include you, and if you'd like to join us tonight, the phone lines are open. Our number on Oahu is 941-3689, and from the neighbor islands, or if you're listening to the live stream someplace else and would like to join us for the discussion, our number is 877-941-3689. We're usually told breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Especially for kids, eating a good meal before class can lower a child's chance of obesity, help her burn calories throughout the day, and increase academic focus. The breakfast served to all the children at the Kona Pacific Public Charter School on August 18th was a pretty important meal, too. It was the first time in our state's history that universal breakfast was provided by a public school for the entire student body. We talked a little bit about the program the week the program started, and listeners called and emailed us afterward, so we thought we'd explore in greater detail some of the program's genesis and how its model might be replicated in other public schools. Joining me tonight in our studio is Gavin Thornton of the Hawaii Appleseed Center for Law and Economic Justice. The center is the program's co-sponsor. Lynn Finnegan is also here. She's the executive director of the Hawaii Pacific Charter Schools Network. And joining us again by phone is Chris Hecht, the executive director of Kona Pacific Public Charter School. And of course, you too. Again, our numbers are 941-3689 if you call from Oahu and from the neighbor islands or just about anywhere else, 877-941-3689. Thank you all for being here.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Chris, I want to start with you. It's been about a week or so since we talked. How has it been since you've now done many more than just 2 days' worth of breakfast?
Yes, indeed. We've served breakfast for 9 days, including today, and the program's going very well. We've been varying between cooked hot breakfasts and some cold breakfasts that are really similar to what most children eat at home. Some cold cereal, milk, and fresh fruit.
Interestingly enough, over this last week, there was a piece I heard on Morning Edition looking at how many adults don't eat breakfast because it just takes too much time. And so the once easy, simple, and quote-unquote fast, cold, you know, breakfast cereal thing is now being regarded as being something that's too much of a time consumer, so that unless it's a matter of grabbing a shake or grabbing a bar or something you can literally grab, adults aren't eating breakfast either. Are we in many ways reaping the many long years of a lot of kids not eating breakfast?
Yes. In fact, the research behind universal breakfast in the classroom shows very clearly that parents say that one of the greatest barriers for them to having breakfast at home is every morning's time crunch. So it makes a lot of sense to me that that extends from the children up to their parents and to other adults as well. I think it's something that's going on across our communities, not just for school children.
But setting in some of those, you know, well-grooved patterns pretty early on is what you're trying to establish with all of this, so that maybe in another generation or so, eating breakfast will be a very important and normal part of the day, not something that happens only if there's time, if ever.
Precisely. And that's why it's so exciting to serve breakfast in the classroom. Many schools provide school breakfast before the school day starts. And what we find is that many of the same families that have trouble having breakfast at home also have trouble getting their students to school early. So by serving breakfast in the classroom to every student who wishes it, we get a lot more participation, especially from some of the students that most need it because they're probably running late already. So we're hoping as we implement this program to begin development of healthy habits for life. And wouldn't it be wonderful if those habits continued on to when our school children are parents and they take the time in the morning to serve breakfast to themselves and their students?
For a lot of families, several generations back, that's the way it used to be. And as we've seen what's happened in the time since, the big time crunch and kids staying up late. But really, there seems to be a movement of looking at how we regard kids and school in a very different way. I mean, and not that we're going to go and veer into this direction, but even looking at the sleep patterns of children that we've known for a very long time, particularly of teens, and now we're having the resurgence of the movement that says maybe we should start school a little later. I mean, that's been around, that idea has been around for a very long time. Sometimes you just have to have it meet up with enough persistence to make it happen. Clearly, that's what happened with your school breakfast program. You were able to do this pretty well in a fairly short period of time.
Certainly. the average, it very much depends on what age group of students we're talking. As you might imagine, the younger ones take a little bit longer because just everything takes longer when you're a first grader, huh? But by 6th, 7th, 8th grade, we see the entire breakfast start to finish, including some cleanup, as taking at the very most 15 minutes and quite often much closer to 10. So it's not a huge amount of time, but when you compare it to breakfast at home, it's important to remember that our kitchen staff is getting up, and they're in the kitchen at around 3:30, 4 a.m., starting to prepare breakfast, even if it's cold cereal, because they want the fruit to be all nicely prepared and ready for the children to eat it. So I think parents out there ought not feel under pressure to try and get a great breakfast out and cleaned up in 10 minutes. That's pretty tight.
It is pretty tight, but also the other aspect of this is having kids eating with their peers, it becomes a social activity. And we know for the rest of us, eating is often the social activity.
Especially in our state. In Hawaii, nothing of real importance happens unless you're eating together. And it's sort of how many of us mark important events.
You're getting a lot of nodding around the table here, yes.
Yeah, and that's why eating breakfast together has, I think that's one of the reasons why it's gone so smoothly. Some of the feedback I get from the students is that it just feels like a natural part of the day, just like they learn together, they move together, they are socialized together. Starting off the day, eating together feels a lot like home, and creating an extension of a warm, caring home feeling is really what we're trying for at school. So we're very grateful to our partners at Appleseed for supporting this program and allowing us to move forward with bringing a little bit more family, inclusive, ohana feeling to all of our students.
Well, that's a very nice segue. Thanks very much, Chris, because I wanted to be able to get Gavin into this conversation too. You did a pilot program with Kona Pacific Public Charter School last year just to see perhaps, you know, how could this run and maybe learn something from a three-week program. Obviously, you learned enough that you were able to turn this into the real deal this year. How did it go from the pilot program to what we see happening this year?
Quite smoothly, actually. I have to confess, there wasn't a whole lot of work on our end. I think it was all on Chris's. You know, working with Kona Pacific has just been an absolute dream. We have been working on this project for quite some time. Hawaii ranks 45th in the nation in terms of school breakfast participation for low-income students. And so we're really forfeiting a tremendous opportunity here to ensure that our low-income students get fed every day, have the foundation that they need to perform academically, and to grow into strong, healthy, successful adults.
But you're not just talking about low-income kids here, because there are plenty of kids who are not low-income who for one reason or another will eschew breakfast, and they're in the same boat.
That's right. That's one of the perks of this program, I guess. Our organization is really focused on providing people opportunities out of poverty. So we're focused on the low-income folks, and that's why we're doing this program, because we see it as a tremendously effective way to intervene in children's lives early on to provide them the foundation that they need to become successful in the future. But at Kona Pacific and other schools that want to do this, it offers the same opportunities to the entire income spectrum. And I think the community aspect of it that you and Chris were talking about is a really important and wonderful side effect of this. It you know, we have heard from other schools that have implemented this in other states that is one of the great benefits of it, having the students and sometimes even the teachers sit down, break bread together, share in that experience. Builds the community of the classroom and really starts the day in a positive way.
The way in which you've been able to create the program, though, although you are focused on low-income kids making sure they eat, there's no stigma to any of this because everybody is in the same situation. They're sitting down, they're eating, it's all the same stuff.
Right. And that's been one of the problems with getting children to eat school breakfast is that stigma that's attached to it. You know, school breakfast is for poor kids. So kids don't want to subject themselves to that. By serving universal breakfast, you remove that. It becomes something that's just a normal, regular part of the school day. And so you're going to see dramatic increases in breakfast participation. And that means that you're going to also see improvements in academic performance, classroom behavior, the whole host of things that come with eating breakfast each morning.
If you're just joining us for Town Square tonight, we're taking a look at the Universal Breakfast Program at Kona Pacific Public Charter School. It started August 18th. It was the first time in our state that a school served breakfast to its entire student body, regardless of its socioeconomic background. Everybody sat down in a classroom together and ate a pretty good breakfast. Wait till you hear some of these menus. You'll be a little jealous, I bet. If this were something that would be possible in your school, would you support this? Wait till you hear how little money it actually took to make this happen. We're going to talk about that in just a little while, too. But we'd want to hear from you first that if it were possible for your public school to do this, would you be in favor of it? Would it be something that would make your life with your kids a little easier? And also maybe put a little peer pressure on your child to eat a good breakfast. 941-3689 is our number if you're on Oahu from the neighbor islands, or if you're listening to the live stream someplace else, you can get to us at 877-941-3689. Lynn Finnegan, you've been awfully quiet over there, but you know, charter schools and the Charter Schools Network is your organization, and obviously you were a great part of this when you were there that day and you saw kids sitting down for the first time. What did you notice about them that was particularly different than a lot of other kids that you see at some of the other charter schools that you visit?
In regards to, with respect to just...
The student body itself, because Kona Pacific seems to have a reputation of being, you know, movers and shakers.
Sure.
And they get it together, and they get it together well, and sometimes very quickly.
That's correct. The local school board, as well as the administration there, have always been open-minded as to, you know, looking for ways to better things at their school level. And they work very hard to be able to introduce, whether it be new programs or, you know, additional services or supports for students. I've been there quite a few times visiting Kona Pacific, and it's such a wonderful environment to be in. There really isn't a stigma of whether or not, and I believe that there's a high percentage of free and reduced lunch, quote-unquote free and reduced lunch kids there, but they're all integrated, they're all, you know, all their programs are very inclusive. I think for that school, it might have even been a little bit easier for the breakfast program to come about, because I was there last year visiting and observing their lunch program. And there are simple things that they do that you can't target whether or not they're free and reduced lunch. One of the activities that they do is they go in and they check in and they say, yes, we paid for lunch or however the arrangement is. And if they've already eaten a snack and they're not quite, you know, they're not quite hungry, they'll take their plate and they'll put it on a table that is a share table. And so when the next person that comes up, and it's almost like a universal, you know, lunch. Because if someone comes up and forgot their lunch money, or for whatever reason, you know, they don't have lunch that day, they can come in and just pick up lunch from the share table. So I asked them, how did that work for them, you know, at the school? And they said, well, everyone who wants a lunch gets one, you know. And so it's just very innovative how they've been able to look at the challenges that they have at that school and look for solutions. So this fit very nicely in what they were accustomed to doing already. And when we went there, almost the whole class, I believe, was, you know, was eating. We were able to participate. The food was delicious. And, you know, I'm a little health conscious in what I eat, and it was fabulous, the choices that they had.
Chris, come back in here and tell us what that first day's lunch was, because you had people in our studio when we talked to you the day afterwards saying, wow, where do we sign up?
Yes, we're fortunate to have an incredible, inspired kitchen staff. And they were really excited when we started talking last spring about adding breakfast to our daily nutrition program. So for our launch on Monday, the 18th, we had frittata with eggs and cheese and potatoes and mixed veggies, then milk, fruit salad featuring local mango and some dragon fruit, and brown rice. What we're trying to do these days is at least one hot breakfast each week, and then a couple other days each week we have something called breakfast bread. We found out with focus groups, in other words, our picky eaters in seventh grade.
You mean the kids, yeah.
That if we actually called it zucchini bread, we got really low interest from the children.
Yeah, gee, I can't imagine why.
And so our office manager, who really runs the program on a daily basis, had the brilliant idea, because she has a seventh grader. She said, let's just call it breakfast bread and see how it goes. Well, suddenly consumption went way up of the very same item. So we do things like zucchini breads, whole grain cereals, blueberry muffins, banana muffins, and then we make our own oatmeal fruit bars, kind of like the ones that you buy in stores wrapped and ready to eat.
But yeah, but with a lot less sugar.
A whole lot more whole grains and a whole lot less sugar.
Yeah. And from scratch.
I bet you'll be asked for some of those recipes. You know, all of the things that you've been describing, the good things, and the fact that they don't take a lot of time to eat, they don't take a lot of time to clean up. The preparation is another issue, which is why your staff has been so devoted in coming in at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. I want to bring in one of our callers and then get back to you about some of the other challenges that you've had that have brought you to this point and really made it such a good position for you to be in to launch into Universal Breakfast. But first, I'm going to go off to Matt calling us from Haleiwa. Aloha, Matt. Welcome to Town Square.
Hi. I just wanted to say I think it's a wonderful idea. We were able to get kids in the morning. And it was always, you know, something like cereal. So we wanted to try to make them a healthier breakfast. So we would cook it the night before because we wouldn't have time in the morning. And finally tried that. It turns out they're too groggy in the morning to even eat. So having it in this classroom, I think, would probably be a wonderful idea.
How old are your children?
They're 8, 6, and 3.
Okay. So you're right in the prime target area with all of this. And is there any discussion in your school about doing such a thing?
This is actually the first I've heard of it.
Oh, well, maybe they're going to get an earful after this next hour. Thanks very much for the call, Matt. Good luck with your kids and getting them to eat. I feel you. 941-3689 is our number, 941-3689, if you're calling us from Oahu. And from the neighbor islands, 877-941-3689. We're spotlighting Kona Pacific Public School, and public charter school, I should say, and their Universal Breakfast Program, first in our state. It's a model that could easily be replicated, and it's not as costly as you think. I want to talk a little bit about that, Chris, after we kind of tell a bit of a story here about how you were challenged at the school, what, about a year or two ago, with your lunch program, and without a great deal of time to get it together, you actually became the school's vendor. I mean, not you personally, but a group of people who were there at the school, and you decide that you would just do it yourself. That's pretty amazing how quickly you were able to get that done. Can you tell that story?
Sure. It's a fun one, and I think it's very, and I'd love to hear from Lynn on this a little, but I think it's very emblematic of the life of a charter school director and the way that most of us have developed a diverse set of skills in order to meet whatever need that comes up in our community. So at Kona Pacific, we're currently in our seventh school year this year, and from our very first day, we recognized that we had a responsibility to provide nutrition and full-day programs to our students. Nationwide, there are generally three challenges that low-income families face if they're interested in joining charter schools. One of them is the need for nutrition programs. The second is the need for full-day programs so that parents who work long hours can be assured that their children are in a safe, healthy environment while they're at work. And the third is transportation, yellow school buses. We still have not cracked the code on that third one because it's so very expensive.
But when it came to having to step in pretty quickly, being told that your vendor for your lunch program was going out of business and you were looking at a month before you had to be ready to go for the next school year, you did an amazing turnaround at Kona Pacific.
Well, like anyone else, first we panicked for a while.
Yeah, all of 20 seconds.
We tried to think of anybody that we knew that could provide federally reimbursable meals, and that took about 3 weeks out of our 5 weeks. With 2 weeks left, we realized we had nobody but ourselves to look for. So with about 10 days before the end of the month, we put together a food service, and what we did is we went out and we went to the kitchen facility that the old food service had been working in, and we negotiated a lease with them. We hired on the old food service's staff, and we got very busy with a wonderful man named Carlton Gillenwater, who consulted with us and helped us develop an all-scratch cooking, whole foods, with no added refined sugars or flours food service. We did that in about 10 days and got all of our recipes and menus ready. And at the same time, I was reaching out to all of the former clients of the food service that had closed and offered them that we would take up vending lunches and breakfast and snacks in place of the closed food service. Because we knew that if we were stuck, they were stuck too. We figured while we were at it, we might as well just take on the whole ball of wax. And so on October 29th of 2012, we started serving food the day after the prior vendor closed down. So no residents, no students, no one went hungry.
Which certainly cemented your relationship as a community hub. Great story. We're going to bring in some of our callers now. If you'd like to join the conversation, the phone lines are open, 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Universal breakfast at school for your kids. Is it something that you would strongly be in favor of? And would you be willing to get involved to make it happen? 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Calling us now is Steve from Oahu. Aloha, Steve. Welcome to Town Square. Hi there.
I'm a dentist, and I'm calling out of a little bit of concern. I'm all for the idea, but I think in implementing the idea, they need to consider or maybe do a study from the very beginning to the end of what happens in terms of their dental health. because now they're going to school and not eating until they get to school. And for people that are in braces and orthodontic care, they may not be brushing immediately after their meals because they may not be given the opportunity to. And then the next time they eat is lunchtime. So I would be curious to see if there are any detrimental dental problems, especially if it's in a lower socioeconomic area where people don't have normal access to dental care. And now if we're increasing their dental problems as a result of that.
All right, Steve, you raise an interesting question. Leave it to a dentist. Chris, you just heard his concerns that, you know, the kids are coming to school. Maybe they brushed their teeth before they went to bed. Maybe they didn't. Now they're coming to school. They're eating breakfast. They're eating lunch. Is all this potentially going to cause a lot of dental problems? You think maybe the next step for the next program is going to be handing each kid a toothbrush?
That's a good point. And I don't know. I'm not aware of any research that shows increased dental issues, but it's not something I've researched in depth myself. I'm interested. I wonder if Gavin might, he has a good background in this area too. I wonder if he's aware of anything.
Yeah, this is actually a novel issue. You know, we've heard all kinds of different concerns about the school breakfast program, but not this one. So we've heard concerns about.
Well, good on you, Steve. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, yeah. Really interesting, interesting idea.
But you know what? I'd like to share something and maybe plug charter schools in this way. You know, I don't know what happens at Kona Pacific, but over at Navaiola, which is across the island in Mountain View on the Big Island, I visited there last week. And lo and behold, after lunch, I see this line of third graders with their toothbrushes all going up to the sink, and they have time. They're there with their toothbrushes. They go and they brush their teeth and they go back to class. So I thought that was pretty neat. And just to address another issue, and I know if I can plug Sikhs, which is another charter school here.
Right here. Yeah.
School for Examining the Essential Questions for Sustainability. And they're over here in the Wailai area. And they start school later. I think it's either 8:30, 8:45 or 9 o'clock because of the studies that show that middle schoolers work better when they come to school a little bit later, and they first start off with an activity. So they do running or jumping or whatever kind of physical activity because studies show that it sets you up for a better day. So it's just really neat how, you know, charters, when they see and they hear about these things that work for kids, that they try to, you know, implement that within their school as well. So just
Because of the fact that the school is smaller, you have less, you know, density or bureaucratic density, at least, that you can be able to be responsive to some of these pieces of research that have been around. Some of them have been around for a while, but they just reached critical mass, and it looks like a good thing to do, like starting the school a little bit later.
Exactly.
To take advantage of what tweens especially need coming up into their adolescent years.
Exactly.
Tonight we're talking about universal breakfast, kids sitting down in a classroom regardless of socioeconomic background, eating breakfast together to start the day right. Our number is 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. One school in our state has done it, Kona Pacific Public Charter School, and now others are eyeing them and thinking maybe that might look pretty good too. Would you be in favor of bringing that into your public school, regardless of whether or not it's a charter? Would you sort of nudge the DOE a little bit and say, how about looking at this? Is this something that you'd like to see happen at your school? 941-3689 or 877-941-3689 if you call us from anywhere other than on Oahu, because it works from the mainland too if you're listening to the live stream. Going now to Nikki calling us from Honolulu. Aloha, Nikki. Welcome to Town Square.
Aloha, Beth Ann. I think it's a marvelous idea, and it is a wonderful way of ensuring that our children are going to have a healthy rest of the day. One of the things that we look at when we look at the sociocultural bonding of children, when we are in a situation where we are sharing food, which is historical, political, anthropological, there is always a sense of bonding and a sense of community that comes about. Mm-hmm. And so it lowers instances of bullying, of any type of discrimination, because it becomes like a family. And when we have schools with so much land, we could look at using them to cultivate the, you know, a lot of the food could be cultivated on the school land. A lot of the schools have, you know, kitchens that are already licensed, so schools can be prepared in the kitchens. We can look at programs like the Katherine Ferguson Academy in Detroit, where all of the food and everything is created by the school. It's grown on the school. Children have what they call square foot gardens, where it is not only, you know, you're not only feeding them, but you're also using it as a teaching moment to teach them about nutrition. You can use it as a mathematical moment because they have to know how much goes into creating the food. So there are a lot of ways that it could be done effectively and help encourage and enhance the learning experience of our children.
Nikki, thanks so much for the call. I want to talk to you a little bit about that, Lynn, because
sure.
You know, everyone says, oh, wouldn't it be great to get the kids involved with all this? But there are certain liabilities involved with this because you are, after all, feeding kids. Mm-hmm. It's still a public institution. How realistic is Nikki's idea?
I think it's very realistic. You know, you probably have to jump a few hoops and everything, but I think the vision, especially for Kona Pacific, is to one day do just that. They're on a beautiful property with a lot of acreage, and they, you know, Chris and Usha over there at Kona Pacific have done a remarkable job of just planning for something like that to implement. And they're on their way to doing, you know, to doing it. So I'm sure that all the safeguards and everything that needs to be done, you know, will have to be done before they can serve whatever they grow on their property to kids. But I definitely think it's doable. That might be a little bit more of a struggle than, say, the universal program implementation. But, yeah, I mean, Chris, don't you think it's doable?
It's very doable, and there's some wonderful news on that on that issue, in that recently the USDA made a new administrative rule that specifically allows for use of school garden harvests in school food service. Now, all of the normal Department of Health regulations still apply, as well as the USDA regulations around quality. But rather than requiring harvested food from a school garden to go through, say, a central distribution warehouse where it's cleaned and sorted, it can go from the school garden directly into the food service now. And we have some really wonderful, innovative folks working out of the Food and Nutrition Service of USDA, and they're very much committed to helping schools and, frankly, other institutions like hospitals or mental health facilities that use gardens and the natural world as part of their program to integrate the harvest of their gardens into the food that their students or clients eat each day. Because think about that. Think about for folks in long-term care, as well as students. Imagine if, as part of their day, they get to have some time with their hands in the dirt, and then have the satisfaction that evening of knowing that they're eating some food that they grew.
What we're talking about is really maintaining that connection to our food, which has been sort of disconnected over the past many decades as more and more processed food came into our lives. As I'm just about here, about the half hour, I want to remind you that if you're just joining us now, just getting into your car, we're talking about universal breakfast for kids in elementary school, ostensibly. Would you be in favor of such a thing? You know, if you have kids, probably breakfast is not your favorite meal of the day, trying to get kids to eat. What if they were able to sit down in a classroom and eat all together and the meals were good? Would you think that that would be a good idea, worth your support? 941-3689. If you're on Oahu, we want to hear from you. And from the neighbor islands, 877-941-3689. We're talking with Kona Pacific Public Charter School. They're the first in our state to have done just that. On August 18th, they started offering universal breakfast to all of their kids. It has nothing to do with socioeconomic background. It has everything to do with keeping kids well-fed, focused, and ready to start the day right. We want to hear from you, 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Now, talking about the cost about this, I said a little earlier we're going to talk about that because, Chris, when you and I talked last week after the program started, and I asked you how much this cost you to start up and how much you projected it would be a sustainable amount for you from year to year, it was kind of stunning to hear the answer that you gave.
Well, keep in mind that we already have a food service that was providing lunch and snacks. But in that context, we're looking at spending somewhere around $10,000 or $12,000, or probably closer to $10,000, on startup costs. And then this first year, which will be a little bit more expensive as we figure out some things out as we go along, I project that our operation cost for the program, including administrative time and all our accountant's time and everything, looks to me like it'll be about $16,000. Once we get through the first year, my guess is that we'll get it down much closer to $10,000 a year.
That's still not a lot of money, even at the $16,000 a year to get it up and started and running and all the menus together and everything else that you have to do. We always know startup takes a lot more. Are people really stunned when you tell them that that's really how little it costs to get this done for feeding, you know, what, 260-some-odd kids?
Yeah, frankly, they are. And just as I would as a school leader, pretty much the first question I get from other heads of school is, okay, what's this really going to cost, both in time, energy, and money? And it's a lot easier to do than might appear at the outset. And part of the reason for that is the reimbursement that we get for each meal from the USDA. Though that reimbursement level is a little bit low for our higher cost of living in Hawaii, it still really makes a big difference in the economics of the program. And as Gavin was referring earlier in the day, or earlier in the program, the fact that Hawaii is 45th in the country in school breakfast participation means that our state is missing out on a substantial amount of federal funding that could be flowing in to help feed lower-income students. So it's really important to keep in mind that the federal government is there ready to partner in feeding children.
And Gavin, go ahead.
If I can just follow up on that. I mean, the federal government has recognized how important it is to feed school children and to get school breakfast. And so they have provided this subsidy for school breakfast. And it's really being squandered right now. It's not being used to its full potential here. And not only does this program benefit the students that are actually receiving the school breakfast, but it benefits the entire community and the entire state because we're bringing in additional federal funding for the program that's then spent on food, ideally on local food, but it goes to, you know, pay for the food service workers that work here. It's really a win-win all around, helping the kids in school, but helping the entire community as well.
And maybe making for an easier school day for a lot of teachers, too.
Absolutely.
Lots of different benefits. Tonight we're talking about universal breakfast, and you guys are awfully quiet. I mean, don't you like this idea about having your kids go to school, not having to nag them or beg them to eat something, and they're sitting in a class with their peers eating? Would that be a good idea and something worth supporting? 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. And if you don't like that idea, we want to hear from you too. Same numbers, 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Going to Christian now, calling us from Honolulu. Aloha, Christian. Welcome to Town Square. Thanks for your patience.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I do think it's a great idea, and I'm assuming that you take some consideration with children with allergies to, say, nuts or lactose. But my question is, what would you do about either cultural considerations or parents that just have food preference? For example, a popular one right now would be gluten.
Gluten-free, or if someone is... Well, it's interesting you asked that question, because we had a shy caller just a moment ago and asking a very similar question. Well, what if we want to make sure that, you know, kids are eating GMO-free food? Or what about if a family is vegan, vegetarian, has dietary restrictions, including what you just talked about, gluten-free? Chris, what do you say to that?
It's a multifaceted question, and there's a range of responses, and depending on the dietary issue, we are more or less able at this time to accommodate. For example, we on our school menus, we carefully label when menu items contain dairy or meat or fish. With gluten, that's a little bit of a tough one, because if a child truly has a severe problem with gluten, let's say celiac disease, our kitchen has been in operation for a good 30 years with wheat and shoyu in many, many. So it's hard for us to be certain, even if we put nothing into the items we're cooking, it's hard for us to be certain that something is entirely gluten-free. So that's an example of something that's tougher. And so what we might do for something like that is have a substitute breakfast. For example, Rice Krispies, to name one. There's a gluten-free version of those. And that's, you know, that's a pretty easy thing to prepare for a child that has a gluten issue.
So if I can kind of capsulize this a little bit. So really,
sure,
you're more than willing to entertain real issues of dietary concern for families and parents, but you can't be making, you know, everything to suit everybody. That would be really impossible, particularly with a kitchen that's been in operation for 30 years. And if there were a serious issue like celiac, as opposed to someone who maybe might have a little bit of a sensitivity to gluten, that's not something you're going to be able to handle.
Precisely. And for some of the others, the major allergies like peanuts and things, we just don't use any of those in any of our cooking at all. That's just simpler these days, because that is, if a child or one of our customers, because in addition to school food, we're cooking for people from age 3 to 93 each day. So it's important to remember it's a big group of people in addition to the students. So if any of them were to have a severe peanut allergy, we just don't want to take a chance with that. So we simply said, okay, none of our recipes will ever have peanuts.
All right, we're going to leave it there for a second. Take more of your calls if you'd like to join us. The phone lines are open, 941-3689 from Oahu, or 877-941-3689 if you call us from the neighbor islands. In our studio tonight, Gavin Thornton of the Hawaii Appleseed Center for Law and Economic Justice. The center is a partner with the public charter school that we were just talking to, Kona Pacific. And from Kona Pacific, on the phone with us is Chris Hecht, the executive director. And in studio two is Lynn Finnegan, the executive director of Hawaii Pacific. Yeah, Hawaii Pacific Charter Schools Network. I thought I said Pacific too many times there. But the whole point of it is, with as difficult as it may be to get kids to eat breakfast, a lot of them, as we all know, go to school without having had a breakfast, making their days a little bit less focused, and certainly maybe a lot less fun too when they're hungry. The idea of sitting down together as a class, eating breakfast together, taking the 15 minutes or so to do that, is that something you think that we should put a little bit more attention toward? You heard the price points that we're talking about with Kona Pacific, $16,000 to set up. Yes, they have a kitchen that's functional. They project that maybe in the coming years it'll cost them about $10,000 to be able to keep the program going. Not a lot of money when we're talking about educational money flowing into schools. Is this something that, for the good of all children, we might consider doing at a much wider level than just the one school that's pioneering it. 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. We want to hear what you have to say. Going now to Reagan calling us from Honolulu. Aloha. Welcome to Town Square.
Oh, thank you. I love this issue, and I love that this charter school is taking it on. And my question is, what's an example of a breakfast that's served? Like, what would be what's the menu, or sort of what's served?
Okay, all right. We talked about the first day's menu, but Chris Reagan would like to know just some other examples. I know we talked about the various different breakfast breads. Everybody else knows that as being zucchini bread or other vegetable bread that, you don't say the vegetable name because the kid's not going to eat it. Those kinds of things, muffins that you do, cold cereal, hot breakfast too. I think they had a frittata the first day and rice and fresh fruit.
Yep. Also, we also do hot oatmeal and other whole grain hot cereals. And we'll do a little bit more of those when we get towards winter.
Cooler weather,
and it
gets
a little colder.
So all good stuff. Regan, does that do it for you?
Yeah. That sounds fabulous. I didn't hear the earlier part of the program, and I had a question about whether you were serving juice or fresh fruit. So I'm happy to hear that. And hot cereals are excellent as well. So that's great to hear.
And as much of it as locally sourced as possible from what we've heard from our guests tonight, too. Thanks for asking the question.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Going now to David calling us from Kona. Aloha, David. Welcome to Town Square.
Hi, thanks. I just want to say that I'm really in favor of having a school breakfast because, the research shows, if children don't eat breakfast, they're just not going to get the benefit of what comes afterward in school. And, they're not going to develop optimally if they don't eat breakfast every day.
We've talked a little bit about some of that research. Are you seeing this in your own home? Do you have children?
No, but I've read about it. And, children actually have lower IQs if they're undernourished. And if they're not getting breakfast, whether they're undernourished or not, they're really not going to be able to learn as well.
One of the benefits also keeping kids from becoming obese. Kids who eat breakfast usually have much more stable blood sugar throughout the day. There's some research on that too. And kids burn calories throughout the day, and they also can increase their academic focus. Thanks very much for the call.
Okay, there's one other good point about it though.
And, sure.
I just read the other week that children are getting up too early and going to school too early.
You must have just joined us because we talked a little bit about that with Lynn Finnegan and why some of the charter schools, one here in town in Honolulu called Seeks, is starting a little later because of that fact. That research has been around for quite a while. It seems now that it's gaining some traction with schools. 941-3689 is our number, or 877-941-3689. We're talking about feeding kids breakfast in a classroom where they're sitting down together, a good breakfast, well-prepared, and not giving you the headache of having to nag your kid and make them eat because it's a lot more fun to eat with your peers. 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. We want to hear how you feel that this might strike you and your child's school. Would this be something that you'd like to see introduced into your child's public school? That's really the question, is how do you get enough people dedicated to be able to do it? Because, Gavin, between the partnership that you and Appleseed had with Kona Pacific and generally the take-charge attitude that they've had and the ability to turn around and become their own vendor when they had a month to go before losing their lunch program about 2 years ago. I mean, that really speaks to the dedication of people who want to see something done and also to the fact that they realize that they are reliant on each other, that there's an interdependence there. And maybe is that something that we see more on the neighbor islands than we do, Lynn, here on Oahu?
I don't know. I don't know about that, but I do know that I'll use this as an example. I think earlier on when charter schools were an idea, The first five charter schools that applied to become what we call new startup charter schools, where they don't have a facility, but they're just putting in applications to get to start brand new without any facilities, a whole new idea. The first five applications that were approved were all from the Big Island. So a lot of the things that they were saying from the Big Island was, you know, it's much harder for them to communicate, to get their ideas across, for them to, you know, look to Honolulu for answers. And so I think that's indicative of not only the area, but it's also the community's wants and desires to be able to have control, you know, of what's happening in their communities and at their schools. So I guess so, yes, that, you know, in, on the neighbor islands, because the needs are there and they want, you know, quicker reaction time.
All right. We've got Linda calling us now from Kailua. If you'd like to join us, do it sooner rather than later before we have to say goodbye. If you have a question about a program to bring universal breakfast to your child's school, as has happened at Kona Pacific Public Charter School on the Big Island, 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Aloha, Linda. Welcome to Town
Aloha.
Square.
Aloha. I'm on a cell phone. Can you hear me clearly?
We can, yes.
Thank you. Two quick questions. Would he be willing to sell his recipes to other schools or individuals to make some money for himself as well as share the wealth of his knowledge? And are they able to accept volunteers in the kitchens in the schools, or must they be on paid staff?
Good questions. Thanks very much. Chris?
Very good.
You willing to share some of these things, not necessarily for pay, although maybe some sort of arrangement might be managed? And really, what are the qualifications for someone to be involved in your kitchen staff?
Sure. Well, to respond to the first question, I don't think that we would want to sell any of the recipes. We would much rather give them away. Part of the founding impulse of our school is that we want to share all of the of our successes with anyone else who's interested in serving their community and serving children. So we that's a shared sentiment with our partners at Appleseed. One of their first concerns when we talked was they wanted to make sure that any of the outcomes of our work together would be made available free of charge and easily accessible for other schools in the state if they were interested in implementing a breakfast program. One of the core values that we share with Appleseed that makes our partnership so strong is that we're all in it for all of the children in public schools in the state of Hawaii, mm-hmm. and in fact in other states. So this pilot program from last spring and our demonstration program this year, those are both wonderful. But the fact is that we're talking 240 children. I've set my sights on a much bigger target, which is every child that attends public school in the state of Hawaii. Let's get them all the opportunity to eat breakfast in their classroom if they and their parents wish.
All right,
that
now, because
would,
we're
that
coming...
That would be the wonderful outcome.
Forgive me for interrupting you, but because we're going to be coming very shortly to the top of the hour, I want to get the other part of Linda's questions answered. What
sure.
does someone have to have qualifications-wise to be able to work in your kitchen?
If you can scrub your hands well and peel and cut some vegetables, we'd love to see you.
That sounds pretty simple. All right. Okay. Go ahead,
Lynn. I just wanted to add something to that. So, you know, I observed when I went over to the school, and their doors are so open in regards to volunteer and service to make the program work and just to make it seem like such a normal thing over there that they have people that volunteer to help serve, people that volunteer to bring the meals up from the parking lot into the classrooms. I mean, it's just a real nice setting and the community really having a hands-on experience in making the school a better place.
Really simply put, a lot of people are probably wondering, how can this be replicated in other schools? Now, I mean, we've heard how well this has been demonstrated. It's only been going on for 9 days, but you did do the pilot program last year for 3 weeks. Is this ready to roll out, and who else is interested?
Yeah, we're definitely interested in spreading this throughout the state. Thrilled that Kona Pacific is the innovator here, and they are really laying the foundation, laying a path for other people to follow. We actually have additional funding that we were awarded from the Hawaii State Legislature through something called a grant in aid. The legislature recognized the potential of this project and so provided us with funding that then we could distribute to schools that wanted to pilot similar programs. So we're very interested in working with other schools.
Have you heard from anybody yet?
Yeah, we've actually talked with quite a few schools, including charter schools. We had a pilot program going in Lenapuni Elementary School on Oahu. It is a K through second grade school right next to the big public housing project, Kuhio Park Terrace. And so I think all of the children in that school are from there. We had a program going with them, not quite the same, but to increase school breakfast. And we've been talking with other charter schools that are interested as well.
Lynn, very briefly, are you also in contact with more of your membership to find out which schools might want to be next in line?
You know, we haven't done that yet. It's been a relatively new program, but I am definitely – we meet every quarter, get together and share, the school principals do, and this would definitely be one that we're going to be sharing with the rest of the charter school leaders. But I'm also thinking that we can do a special outreach to our schools to talk about the partnership and be able to spread the word that way. I do know that there are a lot of our charter schools that already know about the program, but maybe they're just not as familiar with all the details and the help that they can obtain from Appleseed. So
maybe they need some hand-holding with all
correct.
This because it seems there's money on the table from
correct.
The feds, and there's money on the table here locally too. And if you've got the facilities, there's certainly
exactly.
menus available that are available for free from Kona Pacific. It seems like this thing might not be as difficult to roll out. Chris, I wish you all the best with this. We want to be talking to you as we go through the year and see what's happening, whether attitudes, as you're measuring kids in terms of their attitudes about breakfast, also their behavior, and also their academic scores. Let us know.
Yeah. We'll know a little bit in January, and then we'll conclude our study at the end of the school year and ought to have some interesting results to share.
Well, thank you so much for spending the last hour with us, and good luck to you until we talk again.
Well, many thanks.
Thanks very much for joining us. That was Chris Hecht, who's the executive director of Kona Pacific Public Charter School. In studio with me, Gavin Thornton is the executive,
deputy director.
I always want to say executive, but it's deputy director of the Hawaii Appleseed Center for Law and Economic Justice. Also the executive director of Hawaii Pacific Charter Schools Network. Lynn Finnegan is here too. Very, very briefly, as we're about to close out, is there one thing that you would like to see happen in the next month or so as we're looking toward the next legislative session, but knowing that there's money on the table, knowing that you've been talking to other schools, really, one thing that you'd like to hear that a school could tell you, like, we're ready?
Oh, yeah, that's it. You nailed it. We'd love to hear from other schools that are interested in innovating, trying something new that could have a substantial impact on their students and their community.
Well, it seems if Lynn is going to call a special meeting to talk about this and do some additional outreach, that you might just hear that message very soon.
Hopefully.
Definitely.
And then you have to let us know, because it sounds like a wonderful idea to see if we can actually, for not a whole lot of money, get every kid starting the day right, eating a good breakfast, not just something that's sugar-filled and God knows whatever else is in it too, but something that would be quality-controlled and good for them as well as good for their academic experience. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining us this hour.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for spending the hour with us, too. I'm Beth Ann Konselvich. I'll see you tomorrow morning back here for The Conversation at 8 o'clock. In the meantime, have yourselves a good evening. Aloha.